Our nation has been blessed with great leaders, men and women. We are here today because of the sacrifice of not unusual people, but of people who were willing to do what was necessary when they were called upon to do it. I was so moved when we were in Germany and I preached in Germany. We went to Luxembourg, went to the largest American cemetery outside the borders of the United States. Walked in that big dome there, many quotes up there. General Patton is buried there. He wanted to be buried with his troops. And one statement there that so moved me about the nation, our nation, and the sacrifice of those people. When I walked through that cemetery, I was astounded at the teenage young men who were there, who died, gave their life as teenagers. They never were able to grow, to have families, to do the things we do, go to Disney World, go to the beach, go to vacation. They died so you could, and so I could. Great men, great women, who did unusual things, and that they gave their life to that. Not only do we have a great heritage of great statesmen and leaders in the realm of social things and in our government, but in the realm of Christianity. We are here today to worship God because of our founding fathers, those great saints of God of days gone by, those who had a burden, who had a vision. They were just simple people, yet they followed the leadership of the Lord and they obeyed the Holy Ghost. And God used them because they yielded themselves. Those people, as great as they were, and all the great accomplishments in the realm of government and defense of this nation and the area of preaching and sharing the gospel and building churches and schools, most of those people are gone now. They've died. And what God's got left to work with is seated in front of me in this auditorium this morning and in the radio and internet audience. It's your turn. It's your turn now to stand for God. I want you to look in your Bible in the book of Numbers. I read a passage of scripture here in the book of Numbers, and you may be familiar with it, at least the scenario of what's happening. Moses is an old man. He's been leading the nation of Israel. And for 40 years, he's led them through the wilderness. And now they are approaching the time when they will be going into the promised land. In chapter 27 of the book of Numbers, verse 15, it says this, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest who shall ask counsel of him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out and at his word shall they come in. Both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him and took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and he gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." Now, will you bow with me for prayer? Let's ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day already, for the wonderful singing of the congregation and the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad and for his love for you and his dedication. I pray, God, you continue to bless his life and ministry. Lord, we do pray for April this morning. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd give wisdom to the physicians, Lord, that she might be completely well. I pray, God, you'd touch her. And we pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you'd bless. Thank you for the singing of the choir, Miss Regina, and Lord, Brenda and the sisters. And, God, what a blessing they are. And I pray now, God, the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me. God, you know my heart. You know all about me. In me, there's no good thing. But God, I pray for that anointing that'll make the difference. I pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. Help me now, Lord Jesus, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Most of you who have children, grandchildren, know that if you've got grandchildren, that they you have to teach them to share. You have to teach them to take turns and all like that. Regina bought a little Woody doll down at Disney World, and we couldn't find the other Buzz. But anyway, Becky texted us after they got home and said that Towns, one of the twins, had taken Woody into his possession, and he wouldn't let Hunter play with it. He kept it with him while he was eating. He even slept with it at night and wouldn't share. So Grandma had to go buy more to take down there, and so we did that. But you have to teach them to take turns, and you say, it's your turn. Well, I want to say this to you this morning. Those of you sitting here this July day in 2016, it is your turn now. We've had great men in days gone by, great women in days gone by, who've led this nation in democracy and morality. But my dear friends, they are all dead and gone. It's your turn now. When you look at this passage of Scripture, Moses is saying to Joshua, it's your turn. It's your turn to lead. We need some leaders in this nation, in our political realm. We need somebody who will lead under the direction of the Holy Ghost of God. But in this church and in this community, we need Christian leaders. You say, well, Brother Billy, I'm not a Joshua. I'm not a Moses. I want to tell you, they were no different than me and you. They were just like us. And the Lord says in one place that he, like of Elijah, he was a man subject to like passions as we are, just like us. They were all just like us. The Apostle Paul said, I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But Paul gave this statement, I am what I am by the grace of God. Every person is the same. My dear friend, what makes the difference? What makes the difference here about Joshua? First of all, there had to be that divine call. God put it on him to do that. But then there had to be a divine fullness. He said this, he has the Spirit of God in him. Every one of you in here who knows Jesus Christ this morning has the Spirit of God in you. And you say, well, I don't know of anybody to lead. Well, the Bible teaches us that you and I who are Christians are to be a godly example. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. You're to love somebody. If it's just the one, like Regina sang about, if it's just the person next door to you, your neighbor, you're to be the one who leads them to Christ. You're to lead them to the house of God. You're to lead them by your example of loving the Lord and being what God have you to be. God called people to be leaders. Then I want to share this with you. If you look a little further in your Bible, will you turn over to the book of 1 Kings? And here's the story of David. And in 1 Kings, David is addressing his son Solomon. David has been the sweet singer of Israel. He's been the man after God's own heart. He's been the man who has defeated all the armies of enemies of Israel. But in 1 Kings chapter number 2, I call your attention to verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and to command and commandments and his judgment and his testimony as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And then if you would look a little further over to the book of 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles in chapter number 28, here records this same time frame of where David is talking to Solomon his son. And in chapter number 28 in verse 20, David says this, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. David says to his son Solomon, it's time for you to build. I've done what God would have me to do, but now it's your turn to build. My dear friend, if there's going to be a great Sunday school class in this church, somebody's got to take the initiative. Somebody's got to say, I'll do what God wants me to do. Somebody's got to build. Years ago, I heard Dr. Jerry Falwell, way back when he was the great church there at Thomas Road was just getting going. And I went to the super conference at his church, and then I heard him in other places, heard him at Tennessee Temple. But I've heard him recount the story of how, as a young man, when God put a call on his life and he went to Bible college, He said he went out and he had just a zeal to do something for God. And the local church there that he attended, a great pastor there, he went to him and he said, I believe God wants me to do a Sunday school class. He said, Brother Jerry, I'm sure glad you did that. He said, I've got a class for you. And he said, great. He said, I'm amazed that God opened up something just this quick and I've got something somewhere to go and I can teach already. And so he said, come here, Jerry, I'll show you a class. And they walked down a hall in that building and he opened the door and there was an empty room. It had no chairs. It had no desk. It had nothing in it. And he said, this is your Sunday school class, Jerry. It's waiting for you right now. He said, well, how about the desk? He said, or chairs. He said, well, we don't have any chairs right now. How about a table? Well, we don't have any tables. He said, well, how many students do I have? He said, you don't have any students. He said, but you got a class. Now you build it. If God wants you to do it, you build it. And Jerry said that he asked God to help him. And in that strange town he'd never been in before, he asked God to help him. And he began to go out and get the age group. I forgot what they were, 7, 8 year old, whatever. He began to try to find every 7, 8 year old he could. Before the year was out, he had 70 in his Sunday school class. He had chairs and tables, but God used him. My dear friend, what he did in the very beginning of his life in ministry is just exactly what you need to do. You know the first thing God wanted Moses to do? He said, Moses, take your shoes off. If Moses had not taken his shoes off, you'd never known his name. He'd have been gone forever. But my dear friend, God wants you to do whatever he wants you to do. Some people want to do big things. But listen, I want to thank the Lord for those who are working in the children's church today. Their investment in those kids, their life, and in vacation Bible school and Sunday school. Listen, don't be content just to come and sit in a classroom. Build that class. If you're a member of a Sunday school class in here, don't be content just to come every Sunday and sit in that class. You help build that class. You bring people to the house of God. I remember when I was pastoring up in Reedsville and there was an elderly couple that got saved or started coming to our church and they got right with God. And they'd been a member of a church. And to be honest with you, it was just kind of a dead church. They'd been in it all their life. But they got the vision. God got to dealing with them. They joined the church. And Brother Sister Land were their names. And they were in their late 60s or early 70s at least when they first joined the church. But I tell you, they liked Brenda and her sister. They had some age on them, but they sang young this morning. They acted young. They were excited. They were just like, they were just like people that young people get in church. They were so excited. And the next thing I know, I look, and they sat about 3/4 of the way back in our church on my right-hand side, and there was Brother Sister Land, and there was 2 or 3 other people with them. And I went back and met them. They introduced me. They said, these are our friends or some of our family, whoever they were. And you know what? It wasn't long. They had 3 rows full of people in that church. And before long, I began to see those people get saved and join, and then they began to bring people. And out of that one older couple who got on fire, and they did what Moses said to Solomon, he said this, it's your turn, to Joshua. He said, it's your turn. And then what David said to Solomon, it's your turn. And my dear friend, it's your turn now. If we're going to see anything happen, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to stand up and lead. Somebody's got to stand up and build. It's your turn to build. But then I call your attention. If you go just a little further in the Bible from where you are in 1 Chronicles, if you just turn over towards Psalms, you'll come by Ezra, Nehemiah, and then the book of Esther. You know the story of Esther. Esther was a Jewish young lady, and she lived in a land of captivity. But the king chose her to be queen in God's sovereign province. He put this Jewish young lady to be queen. There was a wicked man in that country named Haman. He had purposed, because of the disrespect of one of the Jewish men by the name of Mordecai, he had purposed not only to kill Mordecai, but to destroy the whole Jewish nation, every one of them. He purposed to, and he had it plotted, had it planned. He had sales in other places, and he had them on a certain day. They were to destroy all the Jews, every one of them, kill every one of them. He made a gallows to hang Mordecai on himself. But in God's divine providence, he had put this young Jewish girl to be queen. Mordecai was told about the plot to kill him and all the other Jews. And he gets word to Esther, and he says to her that she was to go before the king and make intercession for her people. She was liberty to do that because even as the queen, if she went into the king's presence without being invited, she could be put to death. But Mordecai encouraged her and he pleaded with her. And in this chapter, chapter 4 of Esther, verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now tonight, if you'll come back and watch the drama, they make mention of Madeline O'Hare and how that single-handedly she got prayer and Bible reading out of our public schools. One woman. Here's one woman. She's a young Jewish girl. She has no qualifications except she was chosen by that king to be her queen. She has no political background. She has no unusual educational background. She has no notable skills that we know of. He was just in God's divine providence. But the statement here is this, who knows but what thou come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This one lady stood at the crossroads of the history of the Jewish nation. In a matter of days, they'd all be annihilated. She had one thing she could do, and that was to go in and to intercede for her people before the king. My dear friend, the reason you're sitting here in this room today is because somebody has interceded before you got here. There were dear men and women in days gone by who prayed for this nation. They sought God in the Constitutional Congress of this nation. When they began to form our Constitution, they sought God and prayed. My dear friend, over the time, the moms and dads and grandparents have prayed, and daddies and mothers have prayed. They've sought God in prayer. They've interceded and they've bombarded heaven. And the answer to all of the needs of God's people is prayer. But the problem is this, there are not many intercessors. There are not many people who are willing to go in and before the king and make appeal. My dear friend, God would have you to do that. This is your turn. Isn't it unusual that one woman got prayer and Bible reading out of our public school? And here's one woman who can turn the tide of a nation, and she did, and you'll read the rest of the story. Old Haman, who was so wicked, he got hung on his own gallows that he made for Mordecai, and God delivered the people of Israel, and they continued to live as a nation in peace. My dear friend, one woman. I wonder if there's one woman in the sound of my voice this morning who can bombard heaven for this nation and bombard heaven for your family. One woman who will seek God and one woman who will give her life to pray and ask God to send revival. One man who will come before God and seek him in prayer. I wonder if you'll be that man. Listen, your only qualification is that you need to be saved. And if you're saved, he's your father. And the Lord said, you'd pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. If he's your father, my dear friend, somebody's got to intercede. It's your turn. Who's going to pray for this nation? There's nobody else left to pray for them. There are no great prayers in days like there's books. I have books in my library about a man named, they called him Praying Hyde. And then others who went where the great men of God went to preach, George Whitefield and D.L. Moody. And all they did was pray. All they did was seek God and bombard him, and God sent revival. You say, Brother Billy, I'm not anybody. I can't do that. Listen, I had a good preacher friend. He's in heaven now. He's a Cherokee Indian. His name was Ed Ballou. Great preacher, great evangelist. But he pastored a church, he said, many years ago up in Tennessee. And they had an unusual move of God. God was blessing. Church was packed and people were coming in, getting in the altar. And he said he was in his office one day in his study there at the church, a little country church, but it was packed and overflowing with people getting saved. And Ed Ballou said, I was in my office and said I was just praying. And I was thanking God for hearing my prayer that people were getting saved and we were having revival. And he said, I was just thanking God that he had answered all my prayers. And he said, I kept hearing a noise. And said, when I went to my study door, I opened my door, and he said, they had an old prayer bench in that old mountain church. And he said, they had a little boy in his church there who was just a little bit mentally retarded. And he said, he looked and he saw that little old boy, and he was laying across that prayer bench in that church. And he's praying. And that little fellow was saying, God bless my preacher Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, save people. Fill this church up with people and save them. And he said God smote his heart because he had taken credit for praying. And it was a little mentally retarded boy that God showed him that God had been answering that little boy's prayer. Can I tell you right now, I thank God for all the revivals going on. And Brother C.T. Townsend, great young preacher and everything, and all the folk who prayed. Brother Randy Hobbs, the pastor, said they prayed for 15 years for revival, but only eternity will tell whose prayer it was that God really got hold of God's heart. It could have been some little mentally retarded child. It could have been some dear woman who's not even been able to attend revival. It could have been some preacher somewhere off in the mountain somewhere that's never even got to go to the meeting. But he's been praying that God somewhere, sometime would send revival. And God heard that preacher, heard that dear woman, heard that farm worker, heard that cotton mill worker. Somebody somewhere got a hold of him. How do you know that your prayers won't change the course of this nation? How do you know that your prayer won't send revival? But James said, we have not because we ask not. But it's your turn to pray now. It's your turn not to just talk about it, but to get somewhere alone with God in a secret place. And he said, if you'll pray in that closet, in that secret place, God will reward you openly. It's your turn to intercede. It's your turn to intercede. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, for sake of time, I won't read it, but you know what he said. He said to young Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And prayer, just a few verses prior to that, he says to Timothy, you preach the word now. You preach now. It's your turn. It's your turn to witness. It's your turn to preach. You say, Brother Bill, I'm not a preacher. One of the greatest preachers this nation's ever had was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody. And my dear friend, God used him. Great revival in America. Great revival over there. But how many of you know the name of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And he got a burden for this young boy who'd been visiting his church in Sunday school class. And the young boy was a shoe salesman. And Edward Kimball went down and he walked back and forth in front of that shoe store before it ever went in. And then he went in and he shared the gospel, simple gospel, witnessed one-on-one with a young man and he got saved. That young man's name was D.L. Moody. God used him to see millions saved, but that Sunday school teacher led him to the Lord. My dear friend, how do you know the next person you lead to Christ in your Sunday school class or in vacation Bible school or in the Awanas or in the youth ministry might be the one God's got his hand on or God to use to call this nation back to God? It's your turn to witness now. I'm thankful for my Sunday school teachers in days gone by. I've related stories. Here I am almost 70 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school workers, and people who've implanted the Word of God in my heart. You say, these kids, they're not paying any attention. They're all about the games and everything. Most of them hear more than you think they hear. My dear friend, listen, it's your turn to lead them to Christ. It's your turn. Who's going to lead them to Christ? How are you going to win this nation? You win them one at a time, one at a time. Who knows but what that young person you lead to Christ will be the one who will go down by the flagpole in one of our local schools and God visit and send revival. Who knows? Listen, it's your turn to intercede. It's your turn to witness. It's your turn to share the gospel. But in Luke chapter 12, there's a story of a rich man, a great man, and he has all these great wealths, and his field brought forth abundantly. And he said, what can I do with all of this great harvest? And he said, I don't know what I'll do. He said, I'll tear my barns down and I'll build bigger barns and I'll store all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, you have plenty. Eat, drink, and be merry, basically. You've got many things laid up for many days. And the word of God said, the Lord said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose will these things be? Listen, Moses said to Joshua, it's your turn to lead. David said to his son Solomon, it's your turn to build. Mordecai said to Esther, it's your turn to intercede. Paul said to Timothy, it's your turn to witness. It's your turn to preach. My dear friend, but soon it'll be your turn to die. Be your turn. I told you before, I like old John Wayne. And I watched and Andrew particularly when he was younger, we used to watch John Wayne. We never memorized them. We watched so many of them. But I remember the one where they came and they stole his horses. And they they took off with the horses, and he came back, and they told him where he went, and he took some guys, and they took off, and they came on, found their horses down in a river, and all the guys had stole his horses. And John Wayne came down the hill on his horse, and the leader of the outlaws there, he said, John Wayne said to him, "You got my horses." He said, "Oh, these are not your horses, but they are for sale. Do you have any silver?" He said, "No silver." He said, "Do you have any gold?" He said, "No gold, just lead." I love the hound out of that, don't you? John Wayne took his horses home. I remember one of the scenes in one of those movies. There's this bad guy, and there's a young cowboy standing right by John Wayne, and the guy, I don't know what all the story, but anyhow, the guy just forced John Wayne, and there was a, you know, they drew their guns, and John Wayne shot him and killed him. He fell right there at his feet. That young boy just almost in horror looked, and he said, "You killed him. He's dead." John Wayne put his gun back in his holster. He said, "Everybody dies. It was his turn." Can I tell you? It's going to be your turn. Hebrews said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody in this building outside the rapture will die a physical death. Every one of us. It'll be your turn soon. We've had folk in this church to die. I can't explain why, unless it was just their turn. You don't have to be old for it to be your turn. Your turn is coming. Your turn to die. And the question is not if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. The question is, are you saved or lost? You better know you're saved. When you die, it's all over with. You're either going to heaven or hell. There are no second chances. There's no way to ever change it. Once you die, you're saved or lost for all eternity. You die saved, the Bible said, absent from the body, present with the Lord, just that quick, just that quick. But if you die lost, you'd be like that fellow told the Lord, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Just that quick, you're either in the presence of God or just that quick, you're in torment in a place called hell. What makes the difference, preacher? The fact that you've been born again by the grace of God, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You knew you were lost, you knew to be saved, and you trusted Him as Savior. My dear friend, you need that. You need that. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the gospel, to the book of Romans, chapter number 14. Romans chapter 14. Moses said to Joshua, "It's your turn to lead." David said to Solomon, "It's your turn to build." Mordecai said to Esther, "It's your turn to intercede." Paul said to Timothy, "It's your turn to witness, to preach." The Lord said to this man, "It's your turn to die." But in Romans chapter number 14, the Apostle Paul is telling us about an upcoming event. And I want to begin to read in verse number 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." The judgment seat of Christ is appointed for the saints of God. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us. I don't know how you feel about that, but I when I was in school, and even now, you wouldn't believe it, but I get nervous if I have to get up in front of people. I couldn't spell anything. I still can't spell. But every time they want to do a spelling bee, they'd put me beside some little freckle-faced girl who had glasses on. She could spell the dictionary backwards. And they'd come down that row and they'd spell the words and spell their words, and some would get it and some wouldn't. They'd come to her and they'd give her a word about this long. And she'd just run off. By that time, my hands were sweaty. I was a nervous wreck. I was too young to have a nervous breakdown, but I was going to have one anyway. And she'd spell it and just act like it was the easiest thing in the world. And everybody would just be amazed at her. And then the teacher would look at me and she said, "Cat," not say K-A-T. I hated that. I hate it. I hate to have to stand up in front of people like that. I wonder what it's going to be like when you have to stand before the Lord and it's your turn. There comes the Apostle Paul, Timothy, John, great saints of God, people you've known, your Sunday school teachers in days gone by, deacons that you've known, preachers you've known, and then it's your turn. It's your turn to give an account, not for salvation, that's already determined, but for the things done in your body, whether they were good or bad, and you got to give an account. It'll be your turn one of these days. You can't say, Lord, I was busy, or I didn't have time, all these things. That's why I didn't ever go to church. That's why I didn't witness. That's why I didn't serve God. You have to give an account. And you know what I know? He's got the books. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Knows everything about you. Knows the very thoughts of your heart. Knows everything. And you have to stand and give an account. It'll be your turn one of these days. You know, I've been involved in a lot of good things and educational things and revivals and camp meetings and all where God really spoke my heart. And people move it. And most of the time, there's just one little thing that God puts something in my heart. I guess He knows I can't remember much. And like Brother James and I talking about, Brother Tom Gillen preached the other year, and he preached for five services, Sunday night and all week. But the one thing we got was things happen, but they don't just happen. You understand that? This year he preached, and the thing that got, it's not about me, it's all about Him. All about Him. Several years ago, we were starting a Christian school when I was down in Florida, and I went to Louisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas for principal training. And Dr. Donald Howard, and the founder of ACE Christian Schools, and it was a whole week of training, and it was good. I learned a few things and very helpful. But on the last day, Dr. Howard come in, and he talked with all of the students there, and they were from all over the country. And that's when Christian schools were really just getting started big. Dr. Howard looked at us, and he talked a little bit about the ministries and schools and things. But he made this statement at the end, and it really, to me, stuck in my heart, and it's lived in me ever since. He said, men, one of these days we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Sometime we think about the things that we failed, the little errors we failed in, and we said things we ought not to have said, maybe did something we ought not to have done, and we, or something like that. But he said, I'm convinced that when we stand before Him, the thing that's going to be more meaningful and maybe more convicting is not what we did, but what we could have done. What we could have done if we'd have yielded to Him and sought Him and been obedient to Him, what we could have done is what we'll have to get an account for. Boy, I'm telling you, that's been in my heart a long time. What could I have done if I just listened to the Holy Ghost, if I just minded Him? And God, the Holy Ghost, doesn't speak just to preachers. He speaks to every one of you. And He spoke to you about doing things and making phone calls or writing letters or go see people and what God could have done and what God would have done if you just yielded to Him and if you'd have took your turn. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? It's your turn. It may be your turn to lead. It may be your turn to build. It may be your turn to intercede. It may be your turn to witness and preach, to share. It may be your turn before this day is over to die. It may be your turn, maybe all of our turn, if the rapture occurs, to stand before the judgment seat to give an answer. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We'll all have to stand before Him to give account of the things we've done in our body, whether they were good or bad. Your turn. I'm telling you right now that the hope of America is in this room today, in this auditorium. We can't wish we had somebody in Washington, wish we had somebody in the House or in the Senate. We can't wish that was different. But right now, right here, there may be a woman, there may be a man that God would move if you'd only intercede. If you'd do like Esther, walk in before the King of glory, and make an appeal for your people, for your nation. Young people, teenagers, Brad mentioned it, most all these revivals are going on. Young people are key, teenagers are key. But adults, let me just hasten to say this. I told Timmy last night, we expect these teenagers to do things that we don't have guts enough to do ourselves. Won't stand up for Christ at work, won't stand up for Christ in the community. We pray and ask God to use those young people, but how about moms and dads getting some backbone and just stand up for God? How about seeking His face? I don't have any idea what God wants you to do today. I just know that He laid this on my heart again, and I tried to really change it, get away from it. But there's some people here right now that God's been dealing with you about doing what God have you to do. Little things. I want you to come back tonight. I want you to see the drama, see the all of it, but the whole theme of it. You'll be blessed. It'll compliment so much what's been sung and what's been said this morning. Please don't miss it tonight. Come back and support these young people. I want us to stand together. I want you to pray for me as pastor. Pray for all of our deacons. Pray for all our Sunday school teachers. Pray that we would be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We do just exactly what we're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you, there are people in this building who can make a difference in your community, in your home, in your school, if you'll just take your turn. It's your turn, Daddy. Don't let some other man lead your family. You lead your family. Don't let some other man pray for your kids. You pray for your kids. Don't let somebody else take your kids to church. You take your kids to church. You be the godly example. And Mom, don't trust the prayers of Sunday school teachers or vacation Bible school workers or WANA workers. You bathe them in prayer. Let them hear you pray. Let them hear you pray. I've heard people say, and they remember the prayers of their mama. Brother Donnie Tippett talked about hearing his mama pray for him when he was way away from God as a young man. He never got away from those prayers. They won't get away from your prayers either, but listen, you need to seek God. I'm going to ask you to come around this altar if God spoke to your heart. Just get a hold of God. Just seek God. He's no respecter of persons. He'll send revival in Burlington and West Virginia. He'll send revival around here. We just keep praying. We just keep seeking His face and do the little things. Take your turn. Several around the altar already. You just come on. Brother Brad is going to sing or obey God the Holy Ghost. Will you take your turn? Will you take your turn? Men, will you take your turn? Ladies, will you take young people, teenagers, boys and girls, it's your turn. If this nation's going to be saved, the only hope of it is here in this building this morning. The Holy God, obey Him.